It's time for The Drive's Top 5 at 5.
Quitting time on your Monday, 5 o'clock here on Fan Run Radio. I'm Russell Smith alongside Bear and Houston Kretsch. The Vol Rumor Mill back from his weeks. Don't call it a vacation.
It's a vacation.
We're just glad he's back, whatever you call it.
Thanks, Russ.
Tucker Harlan has the Top 5 at 5. It's brought to you this afternoon by Knoxville Smiles. Tucker, what do you got?
Thank you, Russell. At number one, Tennessee sits at number one in D1 Baseball's poll this week. This is the second time the Vols have reached number one in the Vitello era. Of course, the first of which was in 2022.
Where did we start the season?
This year?
12?
We didn't start in the top 10, did we?
No.
And here we are. This Vitello guy's unbelievable, man. I mean, Heupel's a pretty darn successful coach.
Game had us 11th.
Rick Barnes is very successful. This new Caldwell lady is, I mean, her winning percentage is better than all of them. But Tony Vitello is the most successful coach on campus. I mean, for the sport, his league being as difficult as it is, the program being what it was when he took over, to have built it into what it was 3 years ago and to have maintained that with no drop-off year after year after year now. I mean, it's phenomenal. We talked about this a little bit, Kress, while you were gone. Like, you know, the two Mississippi schools won it all and then immediately backslid. LSU won it all last year's backslid. Florida struggled this year after. Eventually, there will be a season where, whether it's injuries or just not getting the ingredients right, bad chemistry, whatever, just not getting the right players, we will struggle.
And it will happen.
I hope we handle it well. But for now,
this the is ride fun. Goes on.
Yes.
At number two, Minnesota Timberwolves center Rudy Gobert is questionable for Monday's game two due to personal reasons after becoming a father for the first time. The baby was delivered Monday morning. It is uncertain whether Gobert will be able to travel to Denver in time for tip-off against the defending champion Nuggets.
Yeah, so he had a kid and he's leaving in the middle of the. These guys doing, man. His dad
should have timed that out a little better.
So soft. I'm sorry. You're
just first kid, though. I mean,
you're a professional basketball player. I don't know, man. I own a team, and my star center. We're in the playoffs. My star center's like, I'm having a kid. Like, congratulations. Have your wife send you a picture or something. You can FaceTime. And like,
I mean, dude was going to leave the Masters. The guy ended up winning it. Scheffler.
Yep.
I don't get that either. I look at it as what if it were my dad? Everybody's like, well, what if it's your kid? What if it's your son? What if it were my dad? If it my dad, he's playing in the NBA Finals. He's playing in the Masters. It's like, Pops, go win it. Go win it for me. Like, don't.
What if. What if something goes wrong?
What's going to go wrong? Nothing goes wrong. What if something goes wrong? What are you going to do? Are you a doctor? Oh, if you're a doctor, then by all means, go help out. Maybe you can save your wife's life.
No, knucklehead. But you are there. You are your wife's next of kin and are the one that can give approval for certain procedures. Usually those things are the life-threatening ones where she's unconscious and can't.
Again,
consent on.
If the shoe were on the other foot and I was a lady and I was pregnant.
You're just going to take your chance.
And my husband was a championship golfer or an NBA center or something, I'd be like, honey, you go win this championship. Am I making it weird? You go win this championship. I'll be okay. If I die in childbirth, I will be happy knowing that you're doing what you're put on this earth to do, what you love doing, competing.
How long have you been married?
Why not? That's how I would think. I guess I'm just cut from a different cloth. I'm a winner. This is why you came in second, Kress. This is why.
No, it's
this
not.
This is why you came in second.
It's actually not. I was on time.
Hey, If you had my mentality, you would have gotten with that guy. You would have, hey, man, are you know what time you're supposed to be? Because you're supposed to be here time. You would have checked it out. I feel like there's a very easy diffusion of responsibility here. Not on my watch. Never happened.
Never lost.
At number three, on the note of the NBA, you do have two games tonight. You got the Pacers playing the Knicks on TNT at 7:30 in Madison Square Garden. Knicks are favored by 5.5.
It's been kind of spicy between those two, hasn't it?
The Pacers and the Knicks?
Did I not see something earlier today that they had gotten into it? Pre-game?
I didn't see that. It's game one of that series.
I saw something. There was some disrespect going on.
But also, you got the Timberwolves playing the Nuggets in Denver, like I mentioned earlier. Nuggets are 6.5-point favorites there. T-Wolves do lead the series, though.
Pacers-Knicks, that brings back some good. That was a good 90s NBA series. A couple of years those two went at it. Back when they were both playing second fiddle to Jordan. I mean, the Bulls just the Bulls ruined so many great players. Ewing never won a championship because of the Bulls. Reggie Miller never won a championship because of the Bulls. Obviously, Karl Malone, John Stockton never won championships because of the Bulls. the only reason Olajuwon won championships was because Jordan, you know, whatever happened there. But those were good series. You had the Spike Lee, Reggie Miller choke incident.
That was a great one.
Those teams, you talk about two teams that played to the echo of the whistle, to borrow a football. Pacers Knicks in the 90s, less a basketball game, more Greco-Roman wrestling. Rick Smits and Ewing going at it down low.
At number four, MLB scoreboard, we have one game in progress, and that is between the Giants and the Phillies in Philadelphia. Scoreless in the bottom of the fourth with two outs. The Phillies have two runners on.
Need the Phillies to drop some games here.
Give the Braves some cushion.
Yeah, I mean, they're on a tear, and the Braves are slumping badly, but I did see where the Philly, Trey Turner's out for...
He will be out for a while.
At least a month.
What happened to you guys this weekend?
Played the Dodgers, man. Ohtani. I don't know if you heard of him. He's pretty good. Mookie Betts.
So the Big Orange Mac was very upset on Twitter last night about it. Noted Braves fan.
So several other games will be played today as well. You got the Tigers playing the Guardians and the AL Central. You got the Brewers playing the Royals in Kansas City. Dodgers play the Marlins tonight. You got the Cardinals hosting the Mets at 7:45. Braves and Yankees both have the day off.
We need one. Get away from it. Come back. Reset.
Phillies have the best record in baseball right now. Pretty sure they do. They haven't
really
played anybody, yeah.
Yes, they do.
Yep.
Wow.
They play anybody with a winning. When's the next time they play somebody with a winning record, though? It's going to be a minute.
Let me look.
It's going to be a couple of weeks, so I'm not sure if they're as good as their record says it is.
Are you saying that they're padding the record a little bit?
Kind of very similar to what Kentucky did this year.
May 21st, if the Rangers can stay above 500.
About Rick's Rangers? They kind of have a World Series hangover this year or what?
They're 19 and 16. That's all right. You got time.
It's early. You want to crown them? Go ahead and crown them.
And finally, at number five, a 33-year-old Florida man suspected of stealing a boat was recently arrested while trying to avoid police while wearing a blonde wig, a dress, and oversized sunglasses. While surveying the Lakeport area for the suspect, investigators noticed a blonde woman wearing a white cardigan over a light blue dress and large sports sunglasses. They stopped her and immediately realized the woman was actually just a man in disguise.
That's
bird's a
man,
bloke.
Baby.
That bird's a bloke.
So they took him into custody on two warrants of theft of a boat and a John Deere Gator.
He's just trying to fill up that garage, boys. I don't know what the problem is.
I like the those Gator things are pretty cool, aren't they?
I like
what was the woman disguise? Was that like a disguise or is he a...
No, it was a disguise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just walking around.
So when he's actually when he's stealing stuff, he's just wearing whatever thieves wear these days. You know, ninja outfits and gloves.
Whatever thieves.
There was a famous bank robber down in Texas. I saw it on Dateline, believe it or not, called the cowboy robber. And they thought it was this old cowboy, and spoiler alert, it wasn't a dude.
Really?
Yeah, they got to the end. It was this woman. She was really good at it.
She just dressed like a cowboy?
She made, like an old man cowboy with a fake beard and everything. And she slipped up and made one stupid, like, should have known better mistake, or they probably would have never gotten her. And she ended up getting killed in the shootout, but she couldn't stop doing it. She was addicted to it.
To the stealing?
To the rush of robbing banks.
Mm.
She didn't even need the money at that point.
I would imagine as far as getting the adrenaline going.
Robbing a bank?
I'd say that would do it.
It's
got
to be intense.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a point of no return I think you would get to where, like, wow, I guess I'm all in.
I mean, if you rob one and you get a... I guess if you rob one successfully, it would be hard not to want to do it again.
Do you know how hard it'd be to rob a bank? You get away with it?
Nowadays, very. But not that long ago, it was not that hard.
I went to Catholic with a girl who worked, you know, that First Tennessee over there on Kingston Pike near Sequoia Hills? And the Kroger Plaza and all that. It's like a First Tennessee anyhow.
Yeah.
She's sitting there working the drive-thru, and some dude sends a note through. Put all the money in the thing, send it out to me. This is a robbery.
That happened to my wife. My wife was a bank teller for a while.
Somebody came through the drive-thru and tried to rob her?
No, he came in and handed her a note. And it was weird because she had like a drawer with $10,000 cash, and the guy was like very specific. You like wanted $1,200 or something, and so... Like, they were just coached to just do it. Just give them whatever they want. Get them out of there. And then tell somebody. So, that's what she did.
So, she gave him the drawer with the...
No, she gave him what he asked for.
Oh, she just gave him
$1,200? Yeah. No, Bear. She gave him more than what... She was just feeling generous. She was like, you know...
She's a sweet person.
I see that
you
have
12, with her.
You want $1,200. I've got more. Would you like more? Would you like $3,000? I could go $5,000. I could really go up to $10,000.
What I meant to ask was, did she not put the dye pack in there?
I don't think so. I don't think they do that anymore.
You only want $1,200? That's it?
Really?
I mean, come on, man. I got plenty more back
You're
here.
Selling yourself short here, buddy.
You call yourself
My friend
bank
Jennifer
robber?
Said she just, as soon as she read the note, she just reached under the, because that glass in the drive-thru is bulletproof.
Mm.
So
mm.
She just pushed the button and then yelled to lock the doors. But they were getting, the guy, she goes, I'll be right back with you, with your money. And sat there, and the guy was like, what, all of, you know, with lights on, what, like maybe a minute and a half away from the FBI field office here in Knoxville?
Nice.
He was still sitting in the
What happens when they press that button? Like, what, does it go to the police station? Does it go to the
I'm not sure
like,
where
nearest
it goes.
Precinct or something?
If it alerts 911 or... Wherever, but
probably all the FBI, above, right?
Yeah, the FBI gets notified pretty quickly.
Thank you, Tucker. That is the Top 5 at 5. It's brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. I was there this morning, had my checkup, the spray thing and everything. Everything went well. Actually, a really weird story at Knoxville Smiles. I walk in there, and the first thing I see are my parents.
What?
My parents were there. I felt like I was in trouble or something, like I was walking into an intervention. Like,
Russell, we've been waiting.
I was like, am I missing something? Am I dream? It was so weird. My dad had a teeth cleaning scheduled at the exact same time I did, the exact same day and time.
At the same place?
Yes. Well, I turned them on to Knoxville Smiles a couple of years ago.
Naturally, yeah.
And it was really surprising. So me and Pops got our teeth cleaned today over at Knoxville Smiles. They do a fantastic job. Took like half an hour, just standard teeth cleaning. I mean, in and out of there quick today.
Can't beat it.
No.
865 866-288-3131. Your number to get on the program this afternoon, 865-288-3131. If you want to join as we break things down to levels that can only be described as beyond scientific. Let's get a call from Brad in La Follette. Good afternoon, Brad. You're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, it's going well. Thank you.
Houston, how'd you do last week, buddy? Did you get the money?
Second place.
Second place. All right.
We would have gotten first, but it was a team event, and one of our team members was late. We got penalized. It was sad.
Ooh. Did you flip any bids?
No. Found a few, but they were little.
Have we just lost Bear and Russ in this little conversation?
Yeah, they have no idea what you're talking about. You ever flip the bed, Russ?
Not on purpose. Hey! I don't even know what that means.
It's okay.
You should have told him last week that you should have took Tucker with you as like a embedded reporter.
Ooh,
that would have been fun.
I need a videographer out there when we.
Oh, was it hot out there? I mean, we had sunscreen on. Or are we doing?
All
that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
You could have me along as like a golf commentator for your bass fishing.
Yeah. First two days, super sunny, super hot.
You're roasting out there.
The first day of the tournament.
Do you jump in the water and that's it? Like
I haven't practiced before when it gets real hot, but it wasn't that bad. But definitely needed sunscreen, and then it was a downpour on Friday, pretty much all day.
What do you do when you're out in the middle of a lake and that happens?
When it rains,
like
you just fish on, brother.
Crazy downpour, it's like lightning.
If there's lightning, we typically try to go get under a dock and.
What do the fish do when it rains?
It depends. I know some guys who
think fish
it gets
know
better.
The fish know what rain is.
Well, they know that it gets loud and dark.
They're like, what? That thing is happening again, yeah, where it's all bubbly at the top and kind of strange.
I've been fishing before and got a live well full of five fish, and I'm feeling really good about the weigh in. There's lightning cracking everywhere. I start in my head, start calculating the odds of being struck by lightning. So, you can get kind of insane when you're in the water.
No, the most terrified I think I've ever been in life was we were out on boat years ago and pretty far away from the dock where in like a storm just rolled in.
Yep.
And when that thunder cracks on the lake,
it's so much louder.
It echoes and it fills you and you suddenly feel very stupid. Just get me out of here.
And it just bounces off of.
Yeah.
Guys, on your best finish, I bet nobody said this one yet. The 2011 Tennessee Vanderbilt, the Eric Gordon.
The pick six to end it. That was a good one.
I was at that game. I remember that.
The inadvertent whistle game.
I guess that's a good one Franklin. Just because Vanderbilt felt so aggrieved. And it feels like I remember thinking that they had a good gripe, whatever that call was. But – it's Dooley. They beat us the next year, and I can't get it. It's kind of similar to the Hail Mary. I get, you know, it's like it was Butch, and I see that, and
we didn't do anything.
I'm happy about
it,
but that Georgia team sucked, and that was the beginning of Kirby's run up. Mm-hmm. They've owned us since then, and then I just can't help but think about what happened after that and how Butch blew it and what a big dork he was. Makes me mad, Brad. Brad, before we move along here, are you prepared, Brad? This is your third opportunity to retract your completely illogical, unfounded, and quite frankly hurtful Dean Curley slander. Are you prepared to admit your wrongness and beg forgiveness this afternoon on the drive?
Russell, you know I can't do that.
We're number one in the country. We're number one, Brad. You realize there are no better baseball teams than us. You think we got here with a bad shortstop?
Did you guys happen to see Ariel Antigua's sweet little double play that he had?
Wow.
I'm not even going to let that continue.
He's a clown, Russell. Total clown.
Bye.
National people are referring to Dean Curley as Tennessee's freshman phenom.
Shortstop sensation, old Curley, and you will respect him Brad.
Old Curly.
Boy, that was a clutch hit he came up with.
Hell yeah. How many games has he had this year?
No, this is I don't know what took so long, but this was the first week where people were starting to say he may end up being one of the best players to ever play here.
Ooh.
You remember it
high praise.
About 10 days ago when everybody was wondering, you know, could we score without hitting home runs? I feel like we've kind of put that one to bed.
I was just thinking it's been a long time since Curly's gone deep.
It has been. But it's also been a long time since someone said, oh, they only hit home runs in their park.
He still brings in runs, though.
Yeah, no, he's
not
an RBI machine, yeah.
That one never made sense because most of the bombs we were hitting would have been out of any park, including half the majors.
Well, I think at one point this year, I don't know if it's still true, we had more home runs on the road than we did at home.
Yeah, we did kind of get jobbed on the schedule this year because we're these end-of-the-season series aren't Lindsey Nelson, so.
We get the last one.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be nice and warm. I think it was – I'm pretty sure it was once it warms up is when it really starts blowing out down there, I guess.
But you talk about being uncomfortable hot. It can be – because I was uncomfortable hot at the – I guess it was game three of the Missouri series we went to. It was the last home SEC game, and it wasn't that hot. It was like 80 degrees or something.
Low 80s.
But it was – when you're sitting on a black chair surrounded by brick and concrete, and whew –
it's
always that last home series. I remember being at seeing them play back in the day in the 90s, Florida, and just feeling like you were on the surface of the sun.
That was back when it was just concrete, right? I don't even think they had seats in.
Well, no, I mean, they had seats. They were orange. And then I had to talk to Dr. Dan and get some green seats in there. Make it a ballpark, you know?
You want green seats?
Yeah. Dark green.
I don't know.
Black
what do you
absorbs
want?
Heat. What do you want?
Green's not that much better.
It's not better, but I think it'll look better. Well, you can't go blue. Like you can't.
No,
go,
you can't go blue.
I mean, green. Nobody in our league is green.
No, I get where you're coming from.
You know what LSU has? They have green.
I don't know. I feel like they might have purple.
There's a lot of green in that park. I don't know if the seats are.
Quick timeout. 865, almost did the old number, 288-3131, old habits die hard. Best finishes in sports history, the hot question we will read from Twitter and the Discord, the 37 Club. We'll see what they're talking about over there when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio. Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, Russell, Bear, Tucker, Houston, cruising with you on a Monday afternoon. Good to be with you. Let's see what the 37 Club's talking about this afternoon. Those rascally rascals.
Been trying to identify who the ringleader is in there.
Foster says, hey, I threw my back out a couple of years ago fishing.
That's how you know you're fishing hard right there. That's what my buddy did. He did that. He's got back issues from fishing.
Evan, the Tennessee fan, says he'll take Bears ticket to the Braves game next week. Says he's a diehard Cubbies fan.
Well, Stevie's a Cubbies fan.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's
oh,
the whole reason okay. He wanted to arrange this in the first
no,
place.
No, that makes sense as to why he mentioned that it was the Cubbies in town.
Would
well, oh,
they let
boy.
Him come yeah. in there now or being hosted by
know.
The Braves?
It's like Elaine when she wore the Mets hat to the Yankees game or vice versa.
I don't remember that one. Did they give her a hard
wasn't
time?
That? Yeah, Mr. Littman got the seats, and then she made the sports page because she ended up getting thrown out of the game. And then this could be bad. We're going to have to keep Stevie in check.
Moose says, I'm with Bear on this one. Bucky's is crowded AF and a sensory overload.
Mm-hmm.
And the interstate is for speeding. Raise hell and praise Dale.
Mm-hmm.
That is what Moose says.
That's why I do not ride with Russell on interstates. He's dangerous. Excessive speed. In a vehicle that usually has a very high center of, what do you call it, Tucker?
Gravity?
No.
I think that is what you call it.
Is it? Yeah. Cars that flip easy.
Yeah, high center of gravity.
Yeah. Yep.
Is that thing that sucks me to the ground.
No.
Moose, by the way, checking in from Laredo, Texas, where it is a balmy 105 degrees.
Gosh, on it the is board. Early May. Oh, 105? Laredo.
Justin Hanna says, I'm expecting a complete preview of this weekend's race at Darlington by Friday.
Who will be providing that?
This is the
preview.
Most NASCAR talk you will ever hear on the drive today. So for you gearheads out there who are always like, why aren't they talking more NASCAR? Why aren't they giving my sport more airtime? This is it, gearheads. Soak it in.
High-centered car. Gravity's not in the sentence.
Peyton says, who will hold longer on their terrible take? Brad from La Follette on Curly, excuse me, or Marcus Young on Will Levis?
Marcus Young. I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, if Curly –
they're both pretty dug in.
If Curly is as good or is projecting to be as good as what you just said, he would be a freshman phenom and potentially one of the best players to put on a Tennessee uniform, then I feel like Brad's going to get talked off that hill after a while.
I feel like you could say the same thing about Marcus with Will Levis.
He could win the Super Bowl next year, and they'll say they did it in spite of him. He hates Will Levis so much.
That is true. He has painted himself into a corner. And it's weird because I never would have taken young Marcus Young when he was under our wing here on the drive. I never would have taken him as an excessively prideful person, because that's all that is. That's just like, I'm not going to admit wrongdom. Like, so many people have come after him. It's kind of like Bear when he gets cornered in a list item.
Win.
I'm just not going to, I cannot admit defeat.
That's not about defeat when it comes to the list. That's something you've never been able to figure out. Get through your thick skull. It's just something I don't like. And a lot of times you'll claim this just because
this
I don't
is
like
what
something.
Marcus
no.
is doing
it's,
right
it's
now.
It's totally different.
And it was completely out of character for him when he was on this show. Like, I could see so many people. He was mild-mannered. Oh, hey, guys, how's it going? Like, he was just so mild-mannered. And for him to dig his heels in on anything is shocking to me. But if he's going to do it like Will Levis, it just seems like such an odd hill to
like
die
we were off. All pretty against it for like the first 24 hours, and we kind of got in line. He's a Titans quarterback now,
but if
Marcus.
He can indeed succeed, then yes, we would love to see him do
he
so.
Marcus would rather him not succeed so that he can get the mother of all I told you so's eventually, whenever that may happen. He would rather have that than see the pick pan out, his team do well and win a Super Bowl. That's the level of
that's where it crosses the line into being pathological.
It is strange. It is quite strange. Did anybody see the Tom Brady roast last night on Netflix?
No, I've seen some clips of it, but I did not watch live.
Look kind of cringy, the clips I've seen.
That's where I'm at. Cringy how? Like, not funny or?
Not funny, and it just.
Did you watch it?
I watched enough clips to where it was like kind of.
The clips I saw were like pretty like I can't believe they went like, that hard.
Like do you think that was real when he stepped up to Jeff Ross?
I don't know. I was asking that earlier. I don't know.
I think that was a bit to get everybody in the mood.
He had but the people that Randy they Moss had up there telling the jokes and he's seen a roast before, right? I mean everybody you have to know what I can't imagine that anybody would get up on that stage. I could see how maybe, you know, viewers obviously, or maybe even people in the audience, but I don't see how anybody who's up on that stage or any celebrity there, Kim Kardashian or, you know, whoever, could realize that it's all going to be on the table. Yeah, Robert Kraft, if you come, they're going to make a massage joke. And that wasn't even Tony Hinchcliffe was the one that several of his were like, damn.
Yeah, he went, but hey, I mean, that's a roast. That's what you're supposed to do.
Would you ever agree to be roasted?
No, I don't think
really?
So. No. I've done a roast before, just like with a friend for his birthday. We all
really?
Roasted him. Yeah.
Did you go hard?
Yeah.
Nah. It didn't sound like you went hard.
Okay.
How old was this person? I feel like you had to be.
We were like in college or just out.
Yeah. I mean, what have you done? What have you done at 20? Look at Tucker Harlan. What's he done?
He hasn't made me like
his whole life is ahead. Yeah. Like you're gonna have the real stuff where people can really kind of get in there and shift you, needle you over that mistake you know you made.
Yeah, like the Giselle stuff. I was like, dang. I don't know if I had gone through a divorce and it wasn't pretty. I don't know if I could stand up there and let people just make jokes about it and not be like, yeah, that's good. I've had enough here.
The Edelman Aaron Hernandez joke.
And that's weird because he was his teammate. Like,
yeah, but have you seen any of those interviews? Like, a lot of those guys, like,
knew something was wrong with him.
Yeah, and they'd, like, they tried to stay the hell away from him.
Yeah.
I think it was Edelman. One of them was talking about how he would be laughing and just acting crazy in practice, and Belichick would just ignore it.
I have heard that. There's, like, some videos of him saying something like, put me in on defense, or like, and Belichick's just coaching the team, and I mean, Hernandez is just over there just yelling and screaming and talking, and everyone's like, if that was anybody else, they're getting like sent out of practice or reprimanded, and Belichick was just like, I'm not messing with that guy. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing.
Completely insane.
Now, I guess my takeaway, I haven't seen, I don't even know how long it is. It feels like a thing that you can get the gist of from the clips
people
on the
said
internet.
It was really long. Like, it didn't end until like 1 or 2 in the
morning.
I
didn't know what was going on. I saw either. People tweeting about it last night and just never occurred to me to flip it on or anything. But it's one of those that we complain about, you know, wokeness, whatever you want to call it, taking the teeth out of comedy. Everybody's offended, everything. Everything I've seen, they're joking about sex, race, gender, religion. Just like, it's all on the table.
Dead teammates.
Suicide. Like, yeah. I mean, which to me, I mean, is a lot of that stuff in poor taste? Yes. But it's probably good that we could have a platform or everything.
No, a bunch of comedians were saying, hey, comedy might be back if they're letting this stuff happen. Yeah. Gotta have jokes.
Gotta have jokes. But I'm sure somebody is mad online.
Was Gillis there for it?
I was just thinking, it felt like his kind of party, huh?
Yeah, that dude's hilarious, man. He ran into, I saw a video with him over the weekend. He ran into this comedian out in L.A., and she apparently was one of the people that had really just drug him around the time of the Saturday Night Live thing. And he had to tell her, he was like, she met him, he met her. She had no idea who he was. Now, she had just completely tore him down on Twitter, but has no clue who this guy is in real life.
And social media for you. Phillies are bending the Giants over a barrel in the sixth inning there. So they're going to be three games up.
How are the Giants this year?
It's a good question.
No idea.
15-20 in this game.
Phillies have won six in a row now.
Could be worse. It could be the Rockies in the division at 8-26.
Poor Mike Honcho on a struggling team.
Yeah, and he's not batting particularly well either now. He had a bunch of 0-for games this weekend.
He's running the weekend pitching.
This is so hard to build a winner in Colorado with that ballpark and the thin air and all that stuff. I mean, that's been a problem since day one there. I know they did get to the World – they lost the World Series. Did they lose to the Cardinals? They were in the World Series, I want to say, 10, 15 years ago and lost. But
were they AL, though?
The Red Sox. Yeah, I think they lost to the Red Sox in 07. So, we got to take our final timeout of the program. Speak now, forever hold your peace. 865-288-3131, your number to get on board. 288-3131. Back to wrap things up right after this. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Wrapping up on a Monday afternoon edition of the show. The Overtime Boys are here ready to take you from 6 until 8 p.m. on many of these Fan Run affiliates. A lot of interaction on the Twitter sphere this afternoon on the hot question of the day, greatest finishes in sports history. Lawval 16 says, for games of significance, either Bill Mazeroski walking off against Bears Yanks game 7 of the 60s World Series, or Jordan over Byron Russell in game 6 of the 97 finals. For games of no significance, the band is on the field.
Just a great one.
Do you get the band is on the field reference,
yes,
Tucker?
Yes, I okay, do. Yeah, I've seen that clip several times.
Justin Hanna sending me a video from 2022 of I do remember this one. Ross Chastain punches it through the final turn at Martinsville to claim a spot in the championship four. I do remember, like, people got so – what did he do? It's like he hit the turbo button or something.
He ran it into the wall.
No,
he didn't just, he glide the wall?
Yeah. He floored it, and normally – to make that corner, you have to slow way down, and he tried it out on iRacing, and that's not the first time somebody's tried a video game move, but he pulled it off. Crazy watermelon farmer from Florida, but he is it's banned now.
What?
That move.
I guess it is rather dangerous.
You think? He was going about 40 miles an hour faster.
That was awesome. That was awesome. That's what I mean. That's why it shouldn't be banned. I tell you what, NASCAR, terrible attendance, terrible ratings. I could fix all of it. They make me commissioner of NASCAR. They would give me a lifetime contract because I would fix it all immediately.
I could fix it in three words.
What?
Two-way traffic. Send half the field one way around the tracks and half the field the other.
I was thinking, just get rid of the caution flag. You have a wreck? What, we're going to stop the race and clear the junk off the track and then start racing? No. Just race around it.
I like my idea better.
You see some guy running around with his hair on fire, beating himself in the head, trying to put it out. You try to dodge that guy?
Real glass in the windshields?
That'd be good.
What are we trying to solve here?
NASCAR. I'm trying to put butts in seats, man. I'm trying to help them out.
Glass windshields, you think would do that?
That and two-way traffic? Make it exciting.
Cole says, the kick six, Villanova buzzer beater, Ricky Craven, 2003. A lot of NASCAR.
I know the way he's talking about Ricky Craven and Kurt Busch at Darlington, where they, from about midway, halfway through the third and fourth turn, they started slamming into each other. And just their cars kind of locked together. But they were beating and banging, as they say in the trade.
Rubbins Racing.
World Cup Final 2022.
The hand of God being there.
A lot of Drew Gilbert references today. Doug Brooks says NC State Houston 1983.
Ooh.
Lorenzo Charles.
Very good one.
Is that Phi Slamma Jamma from Houston?
Phi Slamma Jamma was Phi Slamma Jamma was Houston.
Yeah.
What was Louisville?
What was it?
Doctors of Dunk or something?
Oh, the 80s got kind of weird. Everybody had some kind of
nickname.
Yeah. Fast Slamma Jamma was pretty bad.
That was a good one.
It was a good one. Who was on that team? Olajuwon?
Drexler.
I always forget Clyde the Glide was on that team.
Double J sending a reference in to the – what were we talking about? The health inspections?
Yeah.
Why? Because Bear won't eat brisket.
I won't eat Crazy Stevie's brisket.
Kansas cops charged Jace Hansen, 21-year-old – Hereford House steakhouse employee with intentionally contaminating food with, quote, bodily fluids for nearly a month.
Well, I'm not saying that doesn't happen.
He was a part-time employee at the restaurant for less than a month.
All I'm really saying is I'm not eating Crazy Stevie's brisket. If you want to eat it, more power to you. You put me on the spot. We're on air. I probably should have just lied, but it's an honest Monday, and I wanted to be honest. I'm trying to be honest with everyone now.
You're honestly not going to eat it.
Honestly, no.
It was good.
If we're eating it and it's, this is the best brisket.
It looks spectacular if the pictures are indeed the truth.
And what if we're driving home and we're fine? You've been with us. We ate it 8 hours ago, and we're fine. You'll be kicking yourself.
No, I won't. I really won't. Safety first, buddy.
What's
but
your
if there was nothing
snack?
To be afraid of, then.
And what if about 3:45 you start tripping balls because Stevie's drugged you? You don't have to thank me later when I save your asses.
I don't understand. I don't know.
I'm not a very trusting person.
We notice.
Does this look like the face of somebody who would put bodily fluids in your food?
Kind of, yeah.
Let me see him.
He's got a vibe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not
I caught
a
cook
look.
Doing that when I was a bartender.
Doing what exactly?
Hawked in somebody's salad.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, you caught somebody doing that? I thought you did.
Yeah, I was going out of the kitchen, glanced over, and saw him do it, and then it was like two big old swinging doors, and I immediately went right back in, grabbed a salad, threw it in the trash, and then from there it got kind of ugly.
Did you escort him out of the building?
Yeah. Yeah.
Seinfeld police have checked in. David says Elaine was wearing an Orioles cap.
Orioles hat, yeah.
Come on, man. Elaine was one from Townsend, Maryland. Great Seinfeld trivia question.
Elaine Bennis.
You mean we're just a couple of white people?
You know, she's a billionaire.
Elaine? Julia Louis-Dreyfus?
She's an heiress, actually.
Oh.
To a massive, like, billion-dollar fortune.
Well, good for her. What a great character. Elaine Bennis. Absolutely elite character. She had some episodes. She had some looks.
Every damn one of them. She still got them.
David also says, Vols have enough pitching if they can avoid going to a loser's bracket in the NCAA and College World Series. Doubtful if they have enough to fight their way out of a loser's bracket. Yeah, I mean, that would be the concern, right, is you start – the Stamos, Causey, and you know, maybe you start Beam. I don't. Who knows what Tony will end up doing in that situation? But put yourself behind the eight ball, and I mean, you leave yourself no margin for error. It would be difficult.
Yeah, but excuse me, sorry. It's not like LSU. I mean, they had the most dominant player in all of baseball last year with Skeens, but their pitching wasn't great.
Not outside of him, no.
No.
Wasn't it game two against Florida? They didn't they give up like 24 runs?
They gave up a bunch in one of those games, and then
they hammered Florida in the third game.
Did the exact opposite.
Exact opposite, right.
There were several of those games last year, I feel like, in the postseason, though, where teams just kind of scored everyone they could. What was that crazy one? Was it the Super Regional? Was it Stanford and Wake?
I remember Wake. Didn't they play Alabama and beat them?
Oh yeah, that's
20-1 or something.
Well, that's the thing with regionals and really all the NCAA tournament. It doesn't work like SEC play. The run rules aren't there.
Burns had his heater working this weekend. See that guy smash his bat?
No.
Those Burns fastballs.
No, but I did see. I was reading some draft stuff, and Burns is most likely going to go top five in the MLB draft this summer.
Wish things had worked out differently for him here.
I haven't seen any projections on any of our guys, which is strange for a team that has turned out to be dominant, but
it's not. We don't have a bunch of pitchers.
Yeah, I don't. I mean,
I've seen Amick.
I don't know where Simo.
Yeah,
and
that makes sense.
I would imagine Simo and Burke would be our highest rated prospects.
It's Amick.
Really?
Yeah. Down towards the bottom of the first round.
Ahead of Simo?
Mm-hmm. Where's Simo projecting the majors? You think in the outfield? Or third base?
I mean,
maybe?
Where does Amick?
Maybe an outfield.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. Amick's not helping him. He needs to get his fielding stuff tightened up, cleaned up.
He needs to get his appendix back, man, because when he had the appendix, I mean, he was barehanded and all this stuff, and then ever since he had that little blip on the radar and missed a week or so. I mean, he's not bad, but he is good for an error once a game.
Yeah.
Once a weekend.
Absolutely crushing the ball right now, though.
Yeah, I like that little skip hop he did. On
oh yeah, I mean he
Saturday.
Pimped that like the Burke one.
The Burke
was,
one was unbelievable.
But
I
the SEMO was low key how he kind of did the little hop after. Yeah. It you didn't even realize he's going opposite field. It didn't sound like it was a terribly hit ball.
But he knew
when he hopped. You're like, oh, that one might be gone.
But Burke's was unbelievable.
Well, Burke, you knew as soon as by the sound, it sounded like a wood bat.
But the way he just you know, he comes back off the swing and then just like. He just drops it.
Ugh.
Not flips it, just like presents it almost to home plate. Just, yep, here you go. See
Here's what I have done with your pitch.
Awesome.
I do like the move SEMO makes when he's around the trucker.
Trucker the and horn. Then the I love you to his family. It's perfect.
The trucker horn is pretty good. He's also adopted the – I think Acuna is the first to kind of do the stutter step as he approaches third.
Yeah, like Euro the crossover step. Yeah.
All this stuff is, I mean, if you did any of this 20 years ago, you are getting it in the ear hole.
Yes.
Next time
yeah.
up. And now
did you all see the video? I'm not sure if Tennessee Baseball put it out where it's SEMO at the plate and his bat turns into a lightsaber. And
yeah, for May the 4th. May the 4th be with you. I thought that was really good.
Did you see that one, Russ?
I did not.
It's pretty good. He blasts it.
Well, we have plenty to talk about. It looks like Vitello is set to join us on Wednesday. So we'll be getting hyped up for a series against Vanderbilt. I mean, this is –
You think we can get him fired up about Corbin again?
I don't think it takes much. I don't think it takes much.
We said like one sentence last time and he was
– Behind – I don't think it takes much. I think he – You know, for all the talk about, oh, Van Horn, the LSU rivalry has gotten hot.
His number one
words with
Corbin.
Alabama. Yeah, I mean, in-state rivalry. And, you know, to Vanderbilt's credit, we'll talk some trash when we get closer to it. But Corbin does have two natties. He's built a program up there. And for all our success, I mean, we've not – had the success in Omaha yet, so we're still chasing them a little bit. But what we won 7 in a row, I think, against Vanderbilt.
Yep.
Wow.
Do you realize we haven't lost a home series or a series at Florida in almost 10 years now?
What?
2015 is the last time they beat us down there.
Really?
That's crazy.
That's right. Football team could use some of that.
There have been some pretty damn good Florida teams in the mix there, too.
For they own us in football. I mean, there's just what can you say? What can you say? Even when we've had good teams, they've had crap teams. They've just owned us. And yet, yeah, I mean, basketball, baseball, mm-hmm. we have our way with them.
The only team that could be their best basketball team ever. We've been twice.
Mm-hmm. I would so easily sell a little bit of our mojo against them in basketball and baseball for a little bit of mojo against them in football. I'm not asking for much. Lord, take me downtown. I just want to go 500 against Florida over a 10-year period. Is that too much to ask?
I think it'd be pretty good.
No.
I'd take it.
Thank you, boys. HK, good to have you back, my friend.
Glad to be here.
All right. Overtime headed your way next. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.